Turn would you to Isaiah's prophecy and the second chapter, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 19. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Amen. And those of us who were here last week, or may remember or have read the immediate context, will know that in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah is beholding the day of the Lord, that great day of judgment, that great day of reckoning, when the Ancient of Days brings about the end of days, and everything which is lofty and lifted up and exalted will come tumbling down, will be made low. And in that same vein does Isaiah continue in that 19th verse. He talks about they, that they are the people of the earth around at the day of the Lord. And what do they do? Well, they find holes in the ground and caves, and they hope to go into them. They're hiding, they're running away. They're wanting to disappear. Elsewhere in the Bible it talks about calling upon the rocks and the mountains to cover them from the eye of him who sits upon the throne. And they're particularly afraid of the terror of the Lord. Now, the Lord is as terrible now as he will be on that great day. But right now, that terror, that majesty, that holiness cannot be perceived except to those who read about it in the Bible. He is as terrible and as holy and as righteous and as glorious on this day in 2021 as he will be in that day, which also might be 2021, or it might not be. But then it will be obvious to all. Right now it's only believed by those of us who read it and believe it in the Bible. And when we read about the glory of the majesty of God, we probably, see it as being a very kind of beautiful scene. Glory and majesty. And yet look at the reaction felt by the people of the earth when the glory of God and the majesty of God is actually visible and exposed. They don't fall in love with it. They don't think it's marvellous and stare at it. In fact, they flee from it. They cover themselves. They hide. They lurk in the ground. Because the glory and the majesty of God is an expression of the holiness and the righteousness of God, which to those who are sinful will be so appallingly and terrifyingly bright they will want to flee from it. To those of us who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the righteousness of God holds rather less terror. In fact, we can admire the beauty of God, for it's the very righteousness apart from law by which we are saved. What for us is a picture of our salvation is for them a picture of doom and judgment. And he does not just expose and reveal his glory and his terror, but his action. He arises, and when he gets up, perhaps from his throne, he shakes the earth mightily. And we clearly have some poetry here in the second of Isaiah, because that same expression is used in verse 21. The terror of the Lord, the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. So we know that this day is coming. We know that people will hide. Verse 20, though, is rather intriguing. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and idols of gold. Now, you don't cast away your silver and your gold. You keep them close by. And if you really have crafted an idol, the fact that you've got it in your possession, that you've got it in your cupboard, on your little altar, on a chain around your neck, you want to keep it close by. But in that day, even idols of the most precious metal will be discarded and disposed of, because even godless men will realise they are of no value whatsoever. And when that great day of judgment comes, you do not want to be found holding or in possession of an idol of gold or silver, because the real thing, the real McCoy, the real God of heaven, is calling you to account and summonses you to his bar. So idols will be deemed worthless in that day. People continue to hide, which is entirely pointless, because God knows who they are and where they are. And yet look also at verse 22. If verse 20 is a little bit intriguing, verse 20, and I ought to say there's a reference there to the moles and the bats, in other words, places of darkness both in the air and in the ground. People will want to hide in the darkness because their deeds are evil, and put away their idols where they cannot be seen. I think that's what the moles and the bats refer to. But consider for a moment verse 22. The advice in verse 22 is not for the day of judgment, because then it will be too late. Even a gospel message will be too late in that day of judgment. Now is the day of salvation. The advice is to cut yourself off from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils. From what account is he? Well, who is that man? Well, might it be the man who has idols of silver and gold? Might it be the kind of man today who looks strong and impressive, but we know in the day of the Lord he'll be the first to go into a hidey hole? So terrified is he of the glory and the majesty of the God whom he spent his life despising. In other words, be apart, separate from the ungodly now. There's always an inclination, a desire to compromise among the people of God, to fellowship, to compromise, to make treaties with the pagan nations or with the ungodly. Verse 22, I very much think, is advice from God to us today, ahead of the day described earlier on the chapter. And to be holy means to be set apart. It means to be distinctive. It means to go in a different direction. It means to be the godly man of Psalm 1. Sever yourself from such a man. His breath is in his nostrils. In other words, he is a mortal man. His breath is in the nostril today, but tomorrow he'll be as dead as all the others. For what account is he? In other words, ally yourself to the Lord of verse 19. Though he be terrible and glorious and majestic, though he be rising up to shake the earth, he is a far better ally and supporter than any human being with his silver and his gold. Amen. Amen.